You're listening to SBS News.
The rustling of body bags containing the remains of people killed in the Ukrainian town of Buche. Hundreds of bodies were discovered scattered around the town after Russian troops withdrew last week. Volunteers have been transferring them to a cemetery, this man lending a hand.
There are many. In one day we collected 30 bodies. They're lying there. Some of them shot in the head. Some of them are shot blindfolded with tight hands.
The cemetery manager saying civilians are among the dead.
How many have we collected? Around 300. Many are still buried in gardens, in yards. I think it will take a while to know the exact number. The Russians were simply killing civilians. They were abusing and killing.
Graphic imagery of charred civilian bodies strewn across the war-ravaged town have only heightened international outrage towards Russia for its invasion of Ukraine. The United States President Joe Biden announcing fresh sanctions that he says will stifle Russia's economic growth for years to come.
There's nothing less happening than major war crimes. Responsible nations have to come together to hold these perpetrators accountable. And together with our allies and our partners, we're going to keep raising the economic cost and ratchet up the pain for Putin and further increase Russia's economic isolation.
The Biden administration had previously walked back from the president's comments that Russian leader Vladimir Putin was a war criminal. But many feel that these latest images leave no doubt as to what's occurring. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen joining condemnation and confirming increased action against Russia.
Russia's actions, including the atrocities committed against the innocent Ukrainians in Bucha, are reprehensible, represent an unacceptable affront to the rules-based global order, and will have enormous economic repercussions in Ukraine and beyond. Treasury is committed to holding Russia accountable for its actions so it cannot benefit from the international financial system. President Biden has rallied over 30 countries, representing well over half the world's economy, to impose swift, severe sanctions and export controls on Russia.
Making it personal, the U.S. sanctions single out President Putin's family, targeting his two adult daughters. In addition, they block two key Russian banks. The Associated Press's Josh Balker says the new moves show a ratcheting up of pressure on the Russian government.
If you look at what happened, they're going to block Sberbank, which handles about a third of Russian transactions, from being able to do business with the rest of the world. And they're also blocking Alpha Bank, which is Russia's largest private bank. This represents a new stage in the sanctions because these are the institutions used by Russians, not just the Russian elite. However, these penalties also apply to the Russian elite, and more particularly, their children. The Biden administration is going after the two adult daughters of Russian President Vladimir Putin. This is a very interesting move forward because often Russian oligarchs use their children as a means of hiding assets from authorities.
Secretary Yellen says authorities are monitoring for attempts to bypass restrictions through the use of cryptocurrency.
We are concerned about sanctions avoidance, and we recognize that digital assets present opportunities for doing exactly that. So first, I would say that we're monitoring for any attempts to use cryptocurrency to evade our sanctions, and we have ample enforcement authority, which we won't hesitate to use.
While rounds of increased sanctions have not forced President Putin out of the war, they have put Russia in increasingly desperate economic circumstances. Key to the effectiveness of the sanctions has been the unity between the US and European nations. The atrocities revealed in Ukraine are continuing to intensify pressure on other countries to go further and join the United States and Lithuania in blocking all Russian energy exports. The UK has now piled on with asset freezes against major banks, as well as a ban on British investment in Russia and a pledge to end dependency on Russian coal and oil by the end of the year. The European Union is also expected to take additional steps, including a ban on new investment in Russia and an embargo on coal. EU Foreign Affairs Chief Josep Borrell announcing that the Commission would put an end to Russian coal imports, saying Europe is paying €1 billion a day to Russia for fossil fuels and helping finance the invasion of Ukraine.
Since the beginning of the war, we have given him €35 billion. Compare that to the €1 billion we have given to Ukraine in arms and weapons. This gigantic difference has to highlight the importance and need of implementing what the Council asked to. We have to reduce energy dependence, and there is no doubt about the fact that the Commission will be a trailblazer and will lead this and will put forward the necessary measures to achieve this. Today, we put an end to coal.
If the coal ban is adopted, it will be the first round of EU sanctions to target Russia's energy sector. Much of the region relies heavily on Russian resources. Germany's Vice Chancellor Robert Habeck says the German government is intent on emancipating itself from Russian reliances.
And the embargo, I have said it several times and I repeat it, we are working on independence from Russian oil, coal and gas.
However, Josh Balker says this won't be an easy feat for Germany.
The hard question is whether it can meaningfully speed up the timeline without creating enough economic damage to itself. That's really kind of the big question that those political leaders are grappling with. And these are hard questions, but this is the nature of war in the economy right now, because we tend to think about war merely through military tactics, but it is about resources. It is about technology. It is about supply lines and the ability to replenish them.
In Australia, the Federal Opposition leader, Anthony Albanese, is calling for Prime Minister Scott Morrison to join countries like France and Germany and expel a number of Russian diplomats and staff.
We have war crimes being committed. We have civilians being murdered. We have rape being used as a weapon of war, and we need to send the strongest possible message to Russia and join with our allies in Europe who've made this decision.
Foreign Minister Marise Payne stating this week that the expulsion of Russian diplomats was constantly under review. Ahead of top-level meetings in Brussels, Ms. Payne met with the US Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. He's expected to push for even tougher measures against Russia at meetings with NATO and G7 foreign ministers.
We set out to do three things if Russia decided to pursue this horrific aggression against Ukraine. One was to support our Ukrainian partners. We're doing that. Two was to put extraordinary pressure on Russia. We're doing that. Three was to make sure that we were shoring up the defenses of our own alliance, NATO, and we're doing that. And today, tomorrow, we'll continue to talk about not only how we can sustain these efforts, but how we can build upon them.
Tina Quinn, SBS News.